Please be seated.
Well, hey, thank you all for being here. My name is Jeremy. Super excited that we can be here with you and that you braved the rain tonight, right, to be here with us. So thanks for being here. Love you guys. I want to start out before we get into our message. I just want to talk quickly about Memorial Day weekend. We want to memorialize, I guess, those who have gone before us. And so if you don't know, maybe you don't, Memorial Day a lot of times is like the kids get the long weekend, right? They get my kids get Friday through Monday, which is kind of crazy. They have 4 days off. And most of us are going to have Monday off, and there's barbecues and there's all those things. But Memorial Day is actually about remembering those who went before us, those who gave their lives for our country. And I think this is a very important thing. To some degree, I'm a person who's been impacted by this. I have friends who have given their lives for our country. I know people in other countries. I have a friend who meets in a basement of an apartment building to worship God, because if any of the authorities in the country that he lived in knew that he was meeting to worship God, he would be killed. I have other friends who, if people knew that they believed in Jesus Christ, the authorities would come, they would arrest them, they would maybe torture them, they would treat them horribly. But here in the United States, people have given their lives so that we can freely worship. They've given their lives so our country can be free. For all the things that we might gripe and complain about and that might be messed up about our culture or whatever, we are free, and it is an amazing thing. And so would you just take a moment of silence with me, and then I want to pray and just praise God for the freedoms that we have. Lord God, we thank you so much for the great love that you've shown us. God, for the freedom that you've given us, for the people who honored us by being willing to give their lives so that we could live in this country, so that we could be free, so that we could, God, meet here in this awesome room and just know you. Lord God, you are awesome, and I pray that you would continue to work in our lives in mighty ways, and I pray that you would help us to remember those who've gone before us and to honor them, God, and to just even to love on the people who loved them. And so we thank you for your love for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as a young child, J.R. accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. I think he was somewhere around 12 years old. He was at Sunday school at church. And if you fast forward his life by several years, J.R. became one of the most famous and most decorated country music and pop stars, pop icons of his time. And he stumbled into a cave in Marion County, Tennessee. Now in 1967, Johnny Cash, as we know him today, in a hopeless methamphetamine and alcohol-induced stupor, stumbled into Nickajack Cave. He knew that the miners that had worked there would often get lost in those caves. He knew that several men had gotten lost in the cave and that they had not been able to get out and they had lost their life there. And so in helplessness, he crawled on his hands and knees for thousands of feet into this cave and moved down. And his intent was that he would end his life right there. Drugs and alcohol and several harmful life situations and life choices led Johnny to his struggles and his pain. He had abandoned Jesus as his Savior, and he felt like his life was not worth anything anymore to God or to men. And he was missing shows, and he was canceling recordings. And there, deep in the cave, in an area where several other men had actually lost their lives, God spoke to Johnny Cash. Johnny said, he remembered this. He says, there in Nickajack Cave, I became conscious of a very clear, simple idea. I was not in charge of my own destiny. He recalled God saying to him, I'm not done with you yet. You don't get to leave this earth. And he remembers feeling this incredible peace in the darkness come over him, where he remembered his faith in Jesus Christ. He remembered what God had done for him. And he said, okay, God, well, then I'll do what you want. It was the first time he said that he had felt hope in a very long time. God intervened in his life. And the next year, almost a year later, January 13th, 1968, Johnny would record what would become perhaps the most impactful country album of his life. It's called At Folsom Prison. And he recorded that live in Folsom Prison in California. The album went platinum, selling 3.4 million copies in a relatively short time. But that's not what Jesus was all about. He didn't really care. God didn't really care, Johnny Cash would say, a whole lot about my album. But you know what is incredible? If you listen to that album, you will hear the men of Folsom Prison cheering for Johnny Cash every single time he begins a song. And this is why. Because for hours and hours and hours, over 24 hours, Johnny Cash sat in a chair and men came in and he listened intently to their stories and he loved them and he prayed with them and he showed them the love of God. And he did that because, you see, what he experienced in that cave was that God told him that he still had incredible value, that he was still loved by God, and that there was meaning to his life. And those men would sit with him, and he would tell them that. He would tell them how much God loved them. And those men, they saw a concert, but they remember the love and the honor that Johnny Cash showed to him. Isn't that incredible? And so my name, as I said earlier, is Jeremy, and I'm super happy to be here tonight with you. If you are new, we count it an absolute joy to be able to walk this road of getting to know Jesus Christ with you. Thanks for being here. If you're not new, again, thanks for being part of our family here at Grace Church. We love you guys so much. I think it is awesome for me to get to work with you, to get to work alongside you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so if you haven't been here for the past 2 weeks, you're joining us at the end of a series called Honor. And 2 weeks ago, we started the conversation by saying that honor is maybe one of the most overlooked ideas, one of the most overlooked virtues in the Bible. And you might remember this from Romans chapter 12, verse 10. The Apostle Paul said, outdo one another in showing honor. And we said, if you're competitive, this verse is right up your alley, right? Because he's saying, hey, be better than everybody else. Outdo everybody else in showing honor to others. The Apostle Paul was working to set our expectations for how we would live the Christian life. He's making a statement that's countercultural to all human life, right? Outdo one another. But our world, the world that we live in, often encourages us to do the complete antithesis of that, right? Outdo one another in your drive to succeed. Outdo one another in accomplishing your dreams. Outdo one another in living your best life. Or in outdo one another in image. Whether that's on Facebook, on Instagram, on social media, whether it's the way that you look on the billboard. But Paul is making a bold statement. He says, forget what you've learned from the world. God wants us to outdo one another in showing honor. And Gary Smalley, he says this about honor. He says, honor is a decision. That's a very important word. Honor is a decision that we make to place high value, worth, and importance on a person, whether we recognize it or not. It's a decision. Honor is a decision. It's a choice. A personal decision on how I am going to see people, treat people, and care for other people. And I'll tell you, I've been noticing how much I struggle with this myself. In the past couple weeks, God's been convicting me. And isn't it crazy? You hear a message And it just kind of gets you in the heart, and you start to notice throughout the week the Holy Spirit does stuff in you, and you're like, man, I wasn't very honoring in that situation. I wasn't very honoring in that. Maybe you're not like me. Maybe you don't have so many times that you were like that. But, you know, a couple times I was like, man, I could have done better. And I got to tell you about one, because I deeply hate waking up in the morning. Are there any non-morning people here? Yeah, thank you. You're my people, and I love you. But I'll tell you what, last week, I woke up in a terrible mood. And I was in a bad mood, and I was tired. I'd been tossing and turning all night, and I don't even know why. And I basically woke up in a trash can as Oscar the Grouch and came out of my trash can and was like, rah, what's wrong with you? Rah, leave me alone, you know. And it was bad. I mean, it was annoying at best. And I walked through the first couple hours of my day like a zombie, just annoyed with the world. And I totally missed the mark. And maybe we've all had bad days like that, but man, it was embarrassing. Because I failed to honor. So I needed this message. I needed to be challenged. It's been helpful for me to consider that I need to make maybe some changes in my life and the way that I see people throughout this series. And maybe you're like me, I've caught myself not showing honor, even in the little things, like when I'm in the checkout line at Discount Drug Mart, or when that little teenage kid made a bad call at my daughter's soccer game, right? And this idea of honor, it runs throughout Scripture. It's super important to God. And look at this list. We've looked at this each week. The Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, honor each other. We're called to honor God with our bodies, to honor God with our wealth. Husbands, we're to honor our wives. Children are to honor their parents. This week, we're going to talk about honoring everyone. And this issue is not small to God. It's one that works its way out all through Scripture. One that maybe keeps us from waking up and allowing ourselves to be Oscar the Grouch, right? And so 2 weeks ago, we started talking through this and talking about honoring your mother and your parents. And last week, we talked about honoring the governing authorities. If you're like me, as I said, maybe you've made some changes. Maybe you were convicted. I was for sure last week. Wednesday, last week, this past week, Medina County Career Center had its graduation, its award ceremony. My daughter Annika was graduating. She's not here, so I get to say her name out loud. It's pretty cool. but just before they graduation, they announced that the graduates, they announced this statement. They said, please help us to show respect to each graduate and their families by holding your applause to the end so families can hear the names of their graduates. And you know what's interesting? No one did that. And I was sitting there in my seat, and I remember my buddy Mike was sitting right in front of me, my family beside me, his family beside him, and he goes here too. And I was like, Mike, we're going to have to be quiet, aren't we? Because, you know, you guys know, I like the sound of my own voice. I was about to like, yeah, Annika. But I didn't. I held it together. I did a good job. But it was amazing because no one took that into account. Most graduates had their families yelling for them. And then as the ceremony ended, they asked all of the families, they said, please stay in your seats until the graduates have received their career passports. And I was like, what? You know how there were 600 kids there. You want us to wait that entire time until they go one at a time and get their career passports from their teachers? And I was like, that's crazy talk, right? But I looked at Mike and he was like, I think we have to do it. And I was like, I know, I think we have to do it. So we made it into a contest. We were both going to sit there as long as we could and see who would be the first to get up, right? I got to tell you, when every single kid has to get a passport, it takes like 45 minutes. And my butt already hurt sitting in those stands. We were sitting there for 45 minutes waiting for them to get done. But you know what I noticed? I noticed that the families were out there and they're taking pictures and stuff, and half the kids couldn't get to their career passport. So it took 45 minutes. It probably would have taken 15 if people had waited. And I thought to myself, oh, that's why we're supposed to listen to our governing authorities, because they know what they're talking about. Isn't that crazy? Crazy that they know what they're talking about? But I don't know. It was an interesting thing for me. But it highlights this idea of honor. Because in all honesty, those graduates who were standing there probably kind of frustrated not being able to get to their box, they were not honored by the families who said, hey, I'm just going to go do whatever I want. And like, hey, listen, if Tony hadn't preached that sermon last week, I'd have been on that field in a second. So let's be honest, like, I'm not perfect here, right? But it highlights that idea. And so this week, we're going to talk more about honor, and specifically honoring everyone. This command to honor changes things. It changes the way that we value our spouse. It changes the way that we value our children, our parents. It changes the way that we value our coworkers, the way I look at strangers that I meet on the street. It changes the way I view people that don't look like me, don't talk like me, don't vote like me. Shoot, it even changes the way I view people that don't like me, right? And I would even say that it flies straight in the face of the hostility that we have seen in our culture and that we've been experiencing in our country. And even in our church the last couple of years, not in our church, but in the church. And so this is a challenging message for me and maybe for you, because I know how I tend to value people. I know how I tend to look at people, but I want to look at them the way that Jesus Christ looks at them. I want to see them as image bearers of the Almighty God. And so I want to be challenged in my thinking. And I hope the Holy Spirit is doing that same thing in you today. And so I would challenge you today to do some work in your heart, the way that the Holy Spirit is working in my heart, that the Holy Spirit would work in you and you would let him do that and let you grow. And so with the rest of our time, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at why we honor everyone, and then we'll take a look at the decision, why it's a decision to honor everyone, and then how we honor everyone. And so first, I want to look at why we honor everyone. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 1. This passage is one of the places where followers of Jesus Christ, those who are Christian, would call themselves Christians, this is kind of where we start when we talk about why we value each person and the value that God gives to each person. And so whether we're talking about topics like marriage or the way that we use money, why we love other people, foster care and adoption, the fight against abortion, how we think on immigration or racial reconciliation, divorce, most of the topics that deal with human beings start right here in Genesis chapter 1. So I want you to look with me at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. It's page 1. In the black Bibles in front of you, and probably in all of your Bibles, I made it super easy for you. Just turn to the first page, and we'll start right there. And so here we go. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27 says this: Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And when we're talking about honoring others, when we're making decisions that deal with how others will be treated, that's where we start, right there. The image of God in all human beings. It's called the Imago Dei in theology. So now you know a Latin term. You should say it like 100 times to people. The Imago Dei. I am the part of the Imago Dei. You are part of the Imago Dei. You could say it, okay? It'll go over well. The image of God in human beings. We see every human being as personally autographed with intrinsic value, highly valued by God. And the Bible is full of passages that speak to this. Here's a few of them. I praise you, David says in Psalm 139, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. James said, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Encouraging people to watch the way that we speak. And in Colossians, the Apostle Paul says, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of the Creator. And so he's encouraging the people to live this new life in Jesus because we are made in the image of God. God made us in his image, and that image changes everything we think about ourselves. The image of God in humankind means so, so much. It means that we are uniquely gifted intellectually so that we can relate to God and to others, something that animals can't do at our level. And it means that we're stewards of this world that God has given us, that we're meant to rule over and take care of the animals and the plants and the world as a whole. And our inherent conviction towards ethics and justice is derived right from the image of God that we bear. And so the value that we attach to God, our children, to others, and ourselves, it greatly determines the success and failure of our relationships. And it starts with this idea that we are image bearers. Something important to remember about honor is this. Honor recognizes value. It does not set value. When I honor you, I'm calling out your inherent value. I am not determining it, right? You know what that means? There's nothing I or anyone else can say or do that adds to or takes away from your value. I can't add anything to it. I can't take away anything from it. All I can do is recognize it and call it out in you. And this word, it gets me emotional because you know what? Someone here today is listening, or someone is listening online, and they feel worthless. And I'd have to lie to myself to not believe that there isn't another person here who, like I have in the past, feels broken, lost, or beaten, or like they have no value to others. Maybe they've been told that by a parent. Maybe they've been told that by a spouse. Or maybe after years and years and years of life circumstances or past bad decisions or the way that other humans have treated them, and they feel like they're without worth. And I just want to remind you of something. That is a feeling. That is not the truth. Ryan Pinnell, who's a therapist at Hope Restored, he says this about feelings. He says that feelings are like children. We should listen to them. We should care for them. But we should not allow them to make major life decisions for our family. So if you're feeling worthless right now, guess what? That's a feeling. Don't allow that feeling to make major life decisions for you. Because the truth is, you are an image bearer of God. And you have automatic intrinsic value. Your value comes from God, not your spouse, not your children, not your parents, not your pastor, not your coworkers, not strangers that you meet on the street. Your value is not based on another person's thoughts or feelings or words or actions. And in fact, your value is not based on your thoughts. or feelings or words or actions, because God, the God of the universe, determined your value. He created you in His image. So I'm just making sure that we understand that every single human being, all of you who are here today that are listening to this, you have been created in the image of God. You have automatic intrinsic value. You are so incredibly valuable. We have the body of Christ, we call it in Christianity. It means that every single person works together. And if one person isn't using their gifts for the body of Christ, then the body of Christ isn't fully working. That's our intrinsic value. We are all meant to serve God, to love God, and to love others. And because we have such incredible value in God's eyes, we can make the decision to honor everyone. So we've talked through the why of why we honor everyone. So let's look at this decision, this idea of the decision of honoring everyone. Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Peter says, "Show proper respect or honor to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor." There's an imperative there. God's instructing us, giving us a command. Honor everyone. That honor doesn't start with emotion. What it starts with is it starts with a decision. When God gives us a command, we start with decision. We make a decision to act upon that command. We make the decision to obey, and emotion follows, maybe. But in many ways, that differs from what we hear from the world. Because the world might say, wait until you feel like honoring the other person. Or the world might say, the other person has to prove that they're worthy of honor. But honor, the way that God has designed, it may or may not include emotion. It may or may not include that other person doing what we think they should do to honor them. And that's why God commands us. He commands us to honor our enemies. He commands us to love our enemies. He's not telling us to feel good about it, to feel good about someone who hates us. He's talking about making a decision and acting on that decision to honor. And so we can pretty much define honor in this way. To honor others is a decision that we make to compassionately, righteously, responsibly, and sacrificially see others through God's eyes and respond by seeking their well-being above our own. Just like love is a decision, and that's why it can be commanded. Jesus called this the greatest commandment. What's the greatest commandment, he was asked? He says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. And then he says, and to love your neighbor as yourself. God says that love is commandable. That honor is commandable. That because honor and love, they are intertwined. And we command our decisions. We don't command our emotions. Our emotions are going to come up, but we can command the decision that we make. And that's countercultural right there. And so the same is true of honor. We can command ourselves to make the decision to honor others. And once the decision is made and the action is taken, honor has been expressed even if there's no feeling attached to it. And so we make the decision to execute honor because God has already assigned it to that person. God made us for honor. God so loved the world, you remember this? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He wasn't doing flips about the death of his son, but he saw a need. And because he saw the spiritual need, he made a decision, even though it was super, very, very costly. And God showed honor to people, to the very people he knew would torture and murder his son. But he loved them so much that he gave Jesus. And so in fact, it was an example of undue honor. Being shown so that all people could again have the opportunity to be worthy of the honor that God made us with. And in fact, if a good definition for honor is this, to honor others is a decision we make to compassionately, righteously, responsibly, and sacrificially see others through God's eyes, then we could change that because of God's decision to this. Jesus Christ honored humans by loving us so much that he made the decision to compassionately, righteously, responsibly, and sacrificially seek the well-being of us above his own. God loved us so much that he sent his one and only son, and Jesus made the decision to show honor, even to the point of death on the cross. And doesn't that drive you? It drives me. It drives me to obey him. Because it's awesome what he has done, that I don't deserve it because of my sin, and yet he has chosen. He has made me in his image, and I am able to serve him because of what Jesus Christ did. So we make the decision to follow his example. 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter had been talking about to the believers about being subject to the government and to the governing institutions. And we looked at that last week. And he follows that up in verse 17 with that phrase, honor everyone. And I think it makes sense that we honor people in certain positions, right? That's not that hard, right? But Peter goes on to say, honor everyone. And Paul says, outdo everyone by showing honor. And if you're anything like me, you probably have some questions. What about the people who have committed serious wrongdoing? Criminals, those who have deeply harmed others, those who have deeply harmed me. Honor does not mean excusing sin or withholding justice. But on the contrary, it's a commitment to justice. And that in itself is an expression of honor. Because we humans, we bear the image of God. Our actions matter. Our wrongdoing must be addressed rightly. And so thus, honoring the criminal includes ensuring due process, right? A fair trial. Just consequences. And justice, when it's carried out with integrity and fairness, recognizes both the dignity and the value of human life in relation to us bearing the image of God and the seriousness of our sin. So perhaps even more pertinent to our daily life, though, is honoring the person in our life who has hurt us. Somebody who maybe has committed something terrible against us, or they've hurt us. And so I would just remind us of this. God forgave us. Every single one of us has done something that has deeply grieved God. Our sin is a failure of him and what he expects of us, and yet he has forgiven us. And forgiveness is a means of showing honor. Forgiveness allows us to move forward and let go of pain. It doesn't mean that we forget totally or even that we trust the other instantly, but instead it means that I'm choosing to trust God and to put the consequences and the punishment and the wrath into his hands. So it means that I don't allow my thoughts to linger on anger that would become hatred if allowed, and that would creep in, but instead I take hold of my thoughts. Look at 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul says, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We overcome anger and pain, we give those things to Christ in prayer by taking captive our thoughts, by grabbing hold of them. By we overcome that hate in our lives, that anger in our lives, because it will destroy us if we don't. We take it captive and we want to overcome anger and hate. If you want to do that, you know what you do? You pray for that person. Not that they would change, but that your heart would change towards them. That God would release your anger and instead replace it with hope for the renewing of the other person in Christ Jesus. Because ultimately what God wants is he wants to draw every person, even those who have hurt me, he wants to draw them back to him. And so he's saying, hey, have my heart. They hurt me, but I want to draw them back. So I pray, God, help me to have your heart. They hurt me, but draw me back. Draw them back to you. God would release your anger, said release it, replace it with hope. And so we've looked at why we honor everyone and the decision to honor everyone. So I want to talk a little bit real quickly about how we honor everyone. So let's finish with a couple of practical ways that we can honor others. So this is a long passage, but you're going to see it's pretty cool, because what God does in Scripture is he gives us the outline of how to live. He dumbs it down real good for us. I actually really love this. If you catch everything here, look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Apostle Paul says, finally, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted. Keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults. When people insult you, instead, pay them back with a blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will grant you his blessing. Then it says, for the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil, your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search, I love this, search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. And I love, as I said, how the Bible just lays it right out there. It's daily work. It's the daily work of practicing this, putting it into effect in our lives. We honor those by starting with being of one mind. We work to be in agreement, to be on the same page with each other. And what we're to do is to be of the same mind about truth. The truth of God's word, because it guides us and it directs us and it stabilizes our relationships with each other. And so that's made easiest when we make the decision to submit ourselves to the pursuit of God's will and not to our own. To the honoring of others for God's will, not of our own honor. And so then we sympathize with each other, right? He says, sympathize with each other. In other words, we let God lead us to care about what others are going through and to be there with them, right? In the middle of it, we see them struggling, and so we put ourselves aside and we take up the struggle right there with them, sitting with them in it. We pray for them often and intently. And then we love each other as brothers and sisters, because it's about family, right? It's about the body of Christ. We're a family, those of us who serve God. So we treat each other that way. We protect our family. We care for our family. We honor our family, right? And being a family means that we have the markers and actions of a tender heart and a humble attitude. It's seeing the image of God in others and honoring them by thinking of them as more important than us. By being tender-hearted. By being humble. And the next one takes some work. It's not necessarily our first response, but we do not repay evil for evil or retaliate. How many of us have been torn down online, or we've seen a friend torn down online, or we've had a friend that tells us something that someone else said about us? And what's our first thought? I have to defend myself. I have to get them back. They said that horrible thing about me, and I have to do something. And God would say, yes, you do have to do something. He would say that we have to pay them back with a blessing, that we should honor them. We respond like Jesus, who instead of defending himself, went to the cross for those he knew were going to have hardened hearts against him, who sinned against him, who were going to turn away from him, and yet he went to the cross in order that we might be renewed to relationship with God. And so we reject the degrading and insulting words towards others, and we build others up in truth and in honor. And Paul would say, wouldn't it be better for them to come to know Jesus? And because of our love, than for them to continue hating and fighting against us in an endless squabble. He puts it like this: why sue each other? Wouldn't it be better for you to suffer? And he's right, because that would bring us into communion with God and maybe change their hearts and their lives. And so our tongues can speak evil and tell lies, but instead we're supposed to search for peace. Like I said earlier, I love that idea. Imagine that, right? Imagine when we're hurt, instead of retaliating, we ask God, what do I need to do to bring about peace? God, humble me. Help me to see a way to peace with the other person, even if it means suffering for me. Help me to honor this person who wants to be my enemy. And so we can even practice this by asking God to help us to search for peace in everything that we do, in all the ways that we communicate with other human beings. Man, when I think about that, I get emotional, and I'll tell you why. Because if most of us in this room, just in this room right now, if we were to live that out, if we were to search for peace, do you know what would happen? We would double the kingdom of God, because this is not the way our world lives. Our world loves drama. Our world loves to let each other know what somebody did to us so that we can tear them down. But what God is calling us to instead is to love and to ask him to lead us to forgiveness, to love, help us to see a way to peace so that we can love each other. And I'll tell you right now, that will add to the kingdom of God. People's lives will be saved. They'll be changed. People, Jeff Boak said this week in a meeting that I was in, people are going to hell. But if we were to love, if we were to search for peace and honor them, that would bring them to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because that's different. That's way different from what our world looks like. And that's what it's all about. So ultimately, honor means choosing the decision to place others above myself, right? So as the band's coming up, I want to talk to you if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. And again, thank you for being here. First of all, we're so encouraged that you would choose to come here and investigate Jesus with us. We love you. We're glad to be with you. And I would say that God, the creator of the universe, made you worthy of great honor and value. And it's important for us, because I want you to understand this, to think about two things. The image of God is different than being a child of God or a follower of Jesus. And so because God created us, we're bearers of his image. But through faith alone in Christ alone is when we become a child of God, a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. So sin marred the image of God in humans. It changed it. It made it not as nice, right? But it didn't remove it. And so you have incredible value. And we as humans have incredible value no matter how much we understand it. And no matter how much we want to accept it. God loves us and he places value on us. He wants relationship with us. That's the good news that Christians believe, that the God, the creator of the universe, wants renewed relationship with you. When we pray as Christians, we talk directly to God himself. But that I have sinned, that others have sinned against me, that I've devalued myself or others have devalued me, but the God of the universe made us in his image. And that's pretty awesome. He loves me. He wants to have full relationship with me and with you. And he sent Jesus so you, through faith, can have that renewed relationship with him. We'd love to talk to you about that. Like I said, me and some of the other pastors will be out in the lobby. Find a person who knows Jesus. Ask them what it is that he has done for them. We would love to walk this journey of getting to know Jesus with you. I would encourage you, if God is doing something in your heart right now, and I'm sure that he is, don't ignore him. He's standing right there at the door and knocking. Take that step, make the decision to allow Jesus to work in you, to put your faith in him, and he will show you your great value. And believers, can I challenge you? Would you put this into practice in your lives if you haven't already, starting today? Would you join us in turning away from self and moving towards a heart that's focused on honoring other people? Maybe it looks like rejecting gossip or not talking about others behind their back, but going to them and kindly confronting a wrong. Maybe it looks like choosing to change our attitudes and blessing others by showing them honor. Maybe there's things that God is doing in your heart, in your mind, that you know you need to do. Would you join us in taking the step to make that happen? And our God has given us incredible gifts. And we can use them to honor other people. And he will bring us great peace. And I would say this, he will add to his kingdom through our efforts to honor others and to honor him. So would you pray with me? Lord God, we are incredibly blessed. God, that you would create us in your image, that you would create beings in your image, that you knew what was going to happen, God. You knew that we were going to sin, and that you loved us so much that while we were still sinners, you sent Christ to die for us. Father God, I'm so thankful that you love us in that way. I'm so thankful that you show honor to us, and I pray, God, that you would allow us to show others honor in that same way, in the same way that you have shown us honor. You love us so greatly, God. Help us to love one another. Help us to care for and honor one another. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.